Zechariah chapter number 2, please. I think I said 3. Chapter number 2. Have you ever done something stupid and nobody noticed? You know, has she? She does something stupid and you don't notice? No, that isn't what I asked. That's the qualification of a wife. They just they see all those things. We wish they were a little bit blinder, but they aren't. Okay. Seriously, have you ever done something really stupid and nobody noticed? And you had to tell somebody. Well, maybe you didn't. I feel compelled. I did something really stupid last Sunday. Nobody noticed. I got home and looked at my feet when I took my shoes off, and I had two different shoes on. I thought, wow. I'd gotten both of them fixed, both pair, and these are kind of, I don't know what you call them, and the others are wingtips. I had a wingtip in the other, so, and nobody noticed all week. And you folks who sat there and eyeball every little thing I do, you missed it. Somebody going to come up to your service and say, oh, I saw it, preacher. I just didn't want to embarrass you. Whatever. Boy, we do some dumb things sometimes, don't we? We do some dumb things, Larry. You know that? All right. Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 2. Let's get serious. Before we read this verse, I'm going to go to verse number 13, and we'll be going to 2 Timothy chapter 4 in a little bit. But let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You today that You love us. Lord God, I pray that You might quiet our hearts. You might speak to us today. Spirit of God, best I know how, I give You permission to use me, to speak to me, whatever You want to do. Lord, I pray that You might do that same in each and every heart. And, oh God, that we might leave from here saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord and be able to say, Lord, thank You for speaking to me. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 13 says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. When observing this verse and its context, we must note who His people are. Back in verse number 3 and 4, it says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the firstfruits of His increase. All that devour him shall offend, and evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. When we look back into the Old Testament, we are reminded from the word of God that it was given to us as in samples. It's given to us that we might learn from that. And if we are truly born again this morning, we are God's people. Isn't that true? We are the Lord's. The Jewish people were the Lord's people. They were His chosen nation. By the way, still are. Don't count them out. And so when we look at things with Israel, we can't necessarily take all the promises given to Israel and make them their own, but we can make applications. There are things that He gave specifically to them that could not happen to any other nation. But certainly we can make application. We find that Israel is charged at this time with desertion from God. Verse number 11 says, hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. And as a result of that, we find that God says in these verses that they have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me. And two, they've hewed them out cisterns. Two things that God tells us here concerning them. You and I today live in a different era, and yet the Bible speaks of the day that you and I live in. Listen to these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. When the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, may I remind you of that, wrote to Timothy, this being, we believe, the last book God used him to write, says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, as I heard at one time, when it's popular and when it's not popular. There are things that must be said that are many times accepted and very popular with people, and other times they're not accepted very well. But God says, preach it. Be instant, in season, out of season. And then He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Peter said something about preaching, and he said, preach with patience. There's a reason for that. And we, I think, discovered that in Sunday school. And that is, we're not always good hearers. And sometimes we've got to repeat things before it's really gotten into our being. And then he says this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's interesting. Heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, as we think about the times in which we live and the times in which they lived, I believe we can make some application. We come back to verse number 13 of chapter 2. When he says, my people have committed two evils, they have what? Forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And then secondly, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What is God's accusation against these people? Number one, they have forsaken Him. They have forsaken Him. And notice what He says about Himself. They have forsaken the One who is the fountain of living water. Everybody needs water. You can go without food. You can go without food past one meal. You can go without food past two meals. And I'm going to get argument here, but you can go without food past three meals. You can go without food for 2 days. Have you ever tried it? You can go without food for 3 days. How far are you going, preacher? Hang on. You can go without food for a whole week. And a lot of Americans, it wouldn't hurt them a bit. Daniel went 3 weeks. You can go without food for 3 weeks. You say, but preacher, I'm a special needs person. Well, maybe I'm not sure what that is, but we can do that. Moses was on the mountain 40 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days. That's a month and 10 days. But you need water. 3 days, you'll probably be dehydrated. You're probably going to become very, very disoriented. The body needs water. If you were to practice fasting, which is not a bad idea, and it's a good thing, if you were to practice fasting, by the way, as a Christian, if you practice fasting, there's an interesting thing that can take place there. As you are willing to withhold from your flesh and to control it rather than letting it control you, it's amazing the contact that can be made with God. Just don't turn me off on it. Just let it soak in. But you've got to have water. You must drink. It is a necessity in our lives. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 23 and verse number 2, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, how we need the great shepherd to lead us. And yet we find these people, the Bible says, have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Oh, we need that great shepherd. We need the one who wants to lead us, the one who wants to take us in the right direction. But do you also understand today that God has also what some call under shepherds? We understand today that we are sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're sheep. That's not necessarily a compliment, but sheep are unusual creatures. How many have ever been around sheep? Just a few of you. I had the privilege when I was a little boy of my daddy taking care of about 100 head of sheep each year for 2 years. I think he had his fill of it then. The best thing that you do with sheep when you get done with them is take them to the slaughterhouse. But God says, how many like mutton, by the way? What kind of Jews are you folks? I hope he doesn't serve at the Last Supper or he changes my taste buds. But we find here that God makes us, we are his sheep. Sheep are congregating animals. They like to be together. And God has provided for us a way to do that in the New Testament times. It's called churches. Churches are flocks. And sheep in those churches, they're given a pastor. They're given a shepherd. They're given one to lead them. And those who will not follow that shepherd that God places in those sheepfolds, listen, they are either cast. That means they have laid down. They are on their back and they cannot get up. By the way, the only way a sheep that can get up that's cast is the shepherd comes and picks him up. And then he must do some things to him or he will have his stomach bloated and he will end up dying. But those who will not follow that shepherd are cast, they're lost, or they have been devoured. Do you ever wonder why? Why does a pastor look out at all the congregation and he knows who isn't there, but maybe couldn't tell you everybody who is there? Because they're concerned about those who are not there. They generally have spiritual problems. Serious. Sheep who believe they can get all their nourishment without the shepherd guiding them to the proper field show their ignorance and their stubbornness. Shepherds lead sheep to water by taking them to the pastures early to get the dew off of the grass, by taking them to dig a well with access for the sheep, by taking them to the stilled waters that he has found or prepared. Those still waters don't just happen. Go over the Missouri River and try to take some sheep up to it, and they will not drink of it. Matter of fact, if I were to take this church over there and say, now you folks get down along here and drink of this water, some of you, no way I'm getting down next to that thing. And what they have to do, they have to create a little eddy that some of that water can come in where it can be still, because the sheep will not drink of that which is moving. And so as you and I come apart from all the things in the world that are moving around about us, and as we come together and we can settle down together, we can allow that wondrous Word of God and the water that He has for us come into our soul. And it's interesting here that He talks about something here. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. The fountain. This water comes out of a fountain. By the way, it speaks of great preparation. It also speaks of great pressure. Meaning that there's more than enough. You go into the lobby and go over the drinking fountain and you find that that water is under pressure. And as it comes up, you can grab most of it with your mouth, but some of it's going to fall. It means there's more than enough. And the water that you and I can have is the Word of God, coupled with the Holy Spirit of God. But what does God say has happened? My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And so often in our lives, even though we are His sheep and though He be the shepherd, we forsake it. And there's something we do when we forsake it because we have to have water. We hew out our own cisterns. And not only that, but God says they're broken cisterns because they can't really hold water. Rather than drink at that which God has provided, men seek other ways to satisfy their thirsty souls. Solomon, when he wrote his great song, referred to it in a variety as he had tried it, and he called them vanity. As he tried to drink from other sources of water and hold them in his own, and he called it vanity. Vanity, by the way, is withdrawing from the abundant to toil for the scanty. Did you catch that? Vanity is seeking not to withdraw from that which is abundantly there, but to go diligently after that which is very little. And all that men replace the fountain of living waters with is called in the Bible here cisterns, which is simply an underground storage designed to catch runoff. The water is often dirty and disease-laden. Made of stone many times, and most often they leak what little is left there. And it must be drawn off rather quickly. The question must be asked, why would anyone want to drink from a faulty, dirty cistern when there's a bubbling fountain available? Why would anybody want anything but the pure word of God read and preached? Why would they not come to the waters prepared by their great shepherd and by their own shepherd? Serious. Could it be the natural bent of men? My people are bent to backsliding, it tells us in the book of Hosea. Though they call themselves to the Most High, none at all would exalt Him. When John wrote of this, he said it reveals some of their true nature. He says, they went out from us, but were not all of us. They've been with of us. They would no doubt have continued with us. Comes as a result of wrong company so often. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It's not being watchful for our own soul. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God's will is for you and I to gather around the water hole that we might receive that which will bring life to our soul, the water of His Word. Hebrews chapter 10. He says this, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. There's a colon there, and then he says this, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. God has so designed it that you and I, we have the wonderful privilege to take of this Word of God. He calls it water. You and I have the privilege from this water to drink it, that it might come into our soul and bring refreshing. By the way, we'll also have the privilege of that same water to cleanse the filthiness of the flesh. But not only is it to be done in a private manner, but we find also God has so established it because we are sheep that we do it in a collective manner. He calls it the local church. And as He is our shepherd, so is He also brought to us under shepherds Some like that term and some do not. But we're under the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often, what do? We have forsaken the fountain of living waters. We've forsaken it. We forsake it in our day-to-day walk, and we forsake it in our communal walk. But we've got to have water. We can go without food. We can fast. We can endure for, as we know from Scripture, at least 40 days. But we've got to have water, or we die. And so often we find that we begin to think, I don't need that water, and we hew out our cisterns. And so we start gathering that which runs down the hillside to fill it up. And sometimes that which comes off the roof and the drain has been focused into the cistern. And all the impurities come into it. And oftentimes, if it's not leaking away from it, it sets there and becomes somewhat stagnant. But God has for us a fountain of living water. I don't know how many times I've gone to church, not as a pastor, but gone and, I mean, over and over. And that water brought refreshment to the soul. It does something. I may have tasted it before, but it brings refreshment once again. The first verse I ever memorized in the Word of God was John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Boy, I can think about that now, some 40-some years later, nearly 50. Actually, it's been about 60 years since I learned that verse. And it's still energizing. It's thrilling. I've never, Larry, gotten over the one word. It's got two letters. For God, so. It's infinity. It doesn't stop. It keeps on going. For God so loved the world. The world. All of us. God loves us. Why in the world does God love us? You know why most of you have never raised sheep? Number one, they stink. They smell like sheep. They're smelly. They're dirty. God says they're a clean animal. He's declared them that way. But in practice, they're not. I remember Sunday school classes, they'd show this nice woolly lamb just bouncing across the pasture. And here I was, this little farm boy sitting there knowing, I never saw that. Mangy creatures. Defenseless. Cry about everything. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever noticed how close that is to wah, wah? Wow. God loves us. Amen. I mean, think about it. In comparison to God, you and I, so we look at sheep and think some of those things. How is between a holy God and this mess? But God so loved the world. Not just me, but everybody. Whoa. And not just something He said, but because of the way we are, He was willing to become like us that He might pay the price of our sin. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Gave Him. That whosoever believeth in Him, here's the promise, should not perish. Oh, the body's going to die. The soul's not going to perish. If I understand my Bible right, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if that happens one of these days, and you come by and view the casket and say, oh, he looks so good. Looks dead to me. He looks so good. We're not at a funeral. We can laugh a little bit. But you know, just some of these things I get kind of, anyways. Forgive the weird mind. I won't be there. Somebody said, you'll be late for your own funeral. Not me. I'm going to be early. In fact, I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to attend it. Amen. See, what do you want done? I don't care. I won't be there. Do like my dad said. He said, go dig a hole and throw me out to the hogs. Whatever you want to do. But God so loved what? He what? Gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Whoa, 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 whoa. Have. Does not say might have, could have. Maybe have. He says, have. Yeah. Really? You mean if I believe I have? That's what it says, right? Yeah, that's what it means. Is that all I got to do? No, you don't have to do anything. All you got to do is believe it. It's already been done for you. Wow. Now that's exciting. But we hew out cisterns, and that doesn't excite us anymore. Well, let's drink this old dirty water here. The thoughts run through my mind. Some of the things we drink in and get all wondering about. Somebody says, what's heaven going to be like? Oh, better than here. What are we going to do up there? I don't know. Say you don't? Well, I know we're going to be praising God. Somehow, because there's singing that I've seen in the Word of God, there I'm going to probably be joining the choir. Probably going to be some singing, huh? He says He's got some mansions for us. How many rooms you got? You just need one? Big one, whatever. Are they being joined one to another? Or are we going to have great big lawns in between? We've got to go out and mow the grass. I don't know. Jeff ain't mowing grass in heaven. It's for those who wouldn't. No, I don't know. I don't know all we're going to be. This I do know. Jesus is going to be there. It's not what we're going to be doing. It's who we're going to be doing with. Amen? You're going to still be giggling in heaven. I can tell it. Amen. Well, amen. That's a touch of heaven right down here. In a moment, the twinkling of eyes, some of you are going to be changed from grumps to like her. Take a good look. I hear another voice out there. She's happy too. I'm just having fun. Isn't it good to know the Lord? It sure is. And we so often drink out of those broken cisterns. We can come together and drink of some water together and be excited about the things of God and whatever's dealt with, whatever's fed out there, we can drink of that. And then we can go home and we can drink some other water. And if we want, we can grab a steak. Amen. By the way, when you grab a steak, somebody's got to die. Because I eat dead cow, not live cow. Anyway, it's you know, life's good if we look at it in the right way. Amen. But too often, we're stupid. And we commit the evils and we forsake. And then we try to build our cisterns. No wonder when we drink the bitter water, we get bitter. Then the happiness leaves us and all that. Oh God, today, speak to our hearts. There's a need. Lord, we've had some fun with some things because we get excited over heaven. But God, so often we forsake you. We forsake the assembly of ourselves. We forsake that water that you have prepared. And then we go hew out our cisterns, not even realizing they're broken. And the water disappears. And what's left is often muddy and dangerous. God, work in our hearts. Father, maybe there's one in this room today that needs Christ. They've not experienced the glories of the Savior we spoke of. That you sent your wondrous Son to come for us and to live and to die for us that we might have eternal life. Awaken their soul to that wonderful truth. Bless in our lives. Do something marvelous in each of our lives. Oh God, may we this day repent of that which is wrong, rejoice in that which is right, and leave from this way intent upon following you wherever you lead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at. Christina, go ahead and play.